You're watching MSG Network, home of the Knicks and Rangers.
Welcome back, Rangers fans. Dale Worthy here in the booth with Chrissy Smith. It's the end of the second period down on the ice, and the Rangers lead the Oilers 3-2.
Our regular ringside reporter Paul Hanley is out today on diaper duty. He and his lovely wife Joan just welcomed their first child.
Aww.
A healthy future Rangers fan named Cole. Congrats to them.
Luckily, Laszlo Holmes, who usually covers the Knicks for us here at MSG, is filling in for Paul while he's out. He's down there ringside now. How you doing down there, Laz?
In a word, cold. It's very cold all around here. No, I'm just playing. I'm having fun here at the hockey game. Lots of fun hockey going on. Lots of white dudes on skates running into each other at full speed. I don't get it. No, I'm just messing around. But very different from working at the Knicks games. Much colder.
Laz, what's that your impression of the game so far?
That is Chance the Rapper on one of the... I don't think it's even because he's from here.
But yeah, he's from here. Yeah.
Well, no, I know, but oh. I don't think it's because he's from here. That sketch got so much press. People loved that skit.
On YouTube, it's got over 2.5 million views just alone in that video. But I know it was shared.
Like, there's a
all
lot of
across.
Hockey fans, but it's not just us.
Well, I'm a big hockey fan, and I got a kick out of that.
Oh, it's super
and,
funny.
You know, it's funny because I think there's also still a lot of fans who aren't as into hockey. I mean, if you're a Blackhawks fan, you're a Blackhawks fan. But there's still some people who, you know, have a hard time kind of getting into it and trying to get how the game goes. And for a lot of them, I know they got a big kick out of this, too.
Because they were that guy.
Yeah, exactly.
They're him.
They're him, yeah.
They're Laz. That one, I would say, went viral fast.
Oh, yeah.
Faster than most. Definitely the Alec Baldwin President Trump.
Yeah.
For sure, get a lot of replays, but all day I have been singing Derek Jeter's Taco Hole. And we don't have the audio yet, do we?
No, unfortunately. We tried.
NBC,
we tried multiple different.
NBC blocks all of their access, so I will have to explain to you the Derek Jeter's Taco Hole, and then I'll tell you why I was singing it. Derek Jeter Taco Hole sketch was a sketch many years ago when Derek Jeter was hosting. And basically he's talking and there's a little catchy song, which I've been singing all day in my head.
Yeah.
Derek Jeter's Taco Hole. It's set to Kokomo.
Okay.
Just off Route 3, there's a place. And basically it's his Mexican restaurant that he runs and he's the head chef at during the off season of baseball season. It's his true love.
I know the skit is on Hulu. So if you have a Hulu account, you can log in and see that.
Yes. I don't.
I do, but I tried logging in here
and it wouldn't let me.
So
many firewalls.
I know.
Excuse me. But my son, Derek Jeter, has books, because what can't he do?
Yeah. He's running Miami Marlins in Florida now. He's all over the place.
Is about to, or has a baby. I don't know.
Yeah.
With
I think
a supermodel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hannah, what's her name? Not me. Hannah, not me. By the way, Hannah Stanley.
Hannah,
it's also not me. Hannah Stanley, by the way, that's me filling in for Nick DiGilio tonight.
Hannah, or her name now is Hannah Jeter.
Obviously. It is Hannah Jeter.
Yeah,
Thank you for that.
I don't know her name prior.
She was
Hannah Davis.
Yeah, she was the one who was in the commercials with the horse for the cable company or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
yep.
Okay. She's pretty. So my son from Santa got a box set of books, Derek Jeter books. One is The Contract, and then there's two other that come with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're great. They're about the first one, The Contract, which Derek Jeter wrote initially. That was his first book he released. Oh, and by the way, he didn't go through a regular publishing company. He just made his own.
Yeah, of course.
Jeter Publishing.
Well, and he also has the Players Tribune.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, athletes who are a part of all sports can write and publish their own writing on
their own thing
on that, yeah,
through
and,
Jeter Publishing,
yeah.
Because why, you know,
why not?
Why buy milk when you can just buy an entire dairy? So, but the book called The Contract is about the contract he had to sign every year of school with his parents for certain academic standards, behavioral standards, etc. For him to be allowed to play baseball.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
It is.
So and it's the book starts with goal setting and like ways to be a good human. And my son is 9, almost 10, and he started reading it and he was like, wow, this is a really great book.
Yeah.
I mean, he's laying on the floor with a Lego set off to the side reading. And it was like, Santa for the win.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And then my daughter, who's 7, says, Grayson, what are you reading? And he says, Derek Jeter, The Contract. And then my daughter, because she's awesome, says, Derek Jeter's Taco. Because my kids.
Yeah, we got a few texts about people's favorite skits. One from the 815, Patrick Swayze, Chris Farley, Chippendales audition skit.
Everybody's working for the weekend. We actually, when I filled in last week, it was the anniversary, 20 years since Chris Farley passed away.
Yeah, that's insane.
So we talked about that. I cannot listen to that song, Loverboy, without thinking about those two. And now they're both gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
It's the worst. But yes, you're absolutely right. That is one of my all-time favorite sketches. Who else, Curtis?
We were talking about this earlier, the skit with Tom Hanks, Black Jeopardy. That was another recent one that came out in 3 years ago, 2014, almost 4 years ago. And
wow, that does not feel like it was that long.
I know, doesn't it? March 30th, that has Tom Hanks in it. That has 17 million hits on YouTube.
Wow.
I'm trying to see the other one. There's another one. I'm trying to think of what else there has. Well, the Chris Farley one, there's a video on that, not associated with SNL, but they have the skit up there that has 52,000 hits.
Uh-huh.
Matt Foley, Van Down by the River.
Van Down by the River!
Yeah, that has...
He's the motivational speaker. We talked about that one, too.
Yeah, that has 2.3 million hits. There's a lot of them. So if you have any, text in, call in, let me know.
Yeah, Black Jeopardy is... for sure going to be a classic. Mm-hmm. It was incredibly well written, super well acted. Tom Hanks is great wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
Yeah.
And he's the white guy, token white guy. And they're like, are you sure you want to be on Black Jeopardy? And he was like, oh yeah, I heard I can win money. And he answers the question so well and everybody loves him. It's very, very, very good. What would be your favorite?
I really like the Chance the Rapper one.
Because you're 23, so you don't go old school on these.
No,
I'm not
as old school. I will say this, though, too. The Black Jeopardy one is also a favorite of mine. I'm more into the newer. I most recently have gotten into watching SNL, probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, and it's gotten stronger over the past couple of years.
Yeah, it definitely has.
Cecily Strong is, solid.
The Alec Baldwin-Trump one we were talking about earlier, that's another one that always has me chuckling whenever I watch that one.
I watch the Saturday Night Live Christmas special.
Oh, okay.
Every year when they play it. And it's so good. But it's great. That show's been on 45, 46 years.
Yeah.
That is a large volume of work.
Yeah.
Large. The opening where Jimmy Fallon sings about coming home for Christmas, and he does like the gift exchange with Lauren Michaels where he puts the gift around his back. that's really great. Bassomatic.
Yeah, going back to Jimmy Fallon, he and Justin Timberlake teamed up on one a while ago.
Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake, great. They're just,
even on Fallon's Tonight Show, they're great together.
Well, History of Rap.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Part one through part
five. Did you ever see the Daniel Radcliffe alphabet rap?
I don't know that I have.
No? All right, well, I'll show you that during the break or something like that, and we can determine. But that's also another good one.
All right.
Not related to SNL, though.
Merely because I'm interested, because I love talking about SNL. And also, if you haven't gone, Museum of Broadcast Communications right up the street, they have a Saturday Night Live exhibit. And so you can go. Many, many people on air have been over there and seen it. The Cochrane Show broadcast live from there one morning. I have yet to go see it, but I definitely, definitely will before it goes. So, if you've got the week off, that's a great thing to go and do. Come on down and do that. As your texts continue to come in to 312-981-7200, we will continue to take them and read them and bring them up as they become available. But we're going to talk about Pokemon Go.
Yes.
And I say that, and I say it like that because I don't know much about Pokemon Go. I really don't.
Before we go to break, two quick texts.
Yeah.
One Phil Hartman as Clinton on a jog and stopping by McDonald's is awesome. That's from a 317.
Anything and, Phil Hartman was awesome.
Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers and any Debbie Downer from a 773.
I don't remember the Fred Astaire Ginger Rogers one. I've got to Google that. But Debbie Downer is very, very funny. Mm-hmm. Anything Phil Hartman ever touched or looked at or did anything was very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Hartman was actually in the Matt Foley sketch. As I'm sure you're all aware of, that's the theme to Pokemon. I've never heard that song before, ever.
You know what? I was never a big Pokemon fan going up all or right. growing up as a
sure.
kid. But I'll tell you what, as I got a little bit older, like once I got like into my teenage years,
mm-hmm.
I got into it a little bit.
All right. So he's Curtis Koch, producing me, Hannah Stanley, tonight. We've got about 39 minutes left filling in for Nick DiGilio. Lots of Pokemon things going on. Lots of Pokemon things. You might have heard this, but a story recently came out that Pokemon Go led to an increase in traffic accidents. We actually knew this because as it was happening,
mm-hmm.
they were getting reported on the news. Pokemon. Okay, so let's take a step back. For those who are unaware, Pokemon Go was an app, right? A game
yes,
that you could play on your phone, iPhone, iPad, Android, etc. And you had to go around areas outside
mm-hmm.
in buildings.
Yeah. So basically there was a bunch of different like landmarks on the app. So
okay.
basically it associated, I think it used Google Maps or Google Earth, if I'm not mistaken, but you could go like different areas and there were checkpoints. So you could go get more Pokeballs and you can go and find different, if you're walking like on a nature trail, depending upon what sort of terrain you're in, if you were in a like a wooded area, you'd find wood type or forest type Pokemon. If you were by a pond, you could find water type.
Okay, and
it,
you
it was
would
strictly based off of
catch
where
them?
You were. Yeah, so it would you could walk up to it and then you would tap it and then it would pull up on a screen and then you would.
So you would
flick.
Tap it on your phone.
Yeah,
because there's nothing real.
No,
it's
there's nothing
all
real.
Virtual.
Yeah, and while you're on your phone, you would tap it and then it would pop up and then you have these virtual Pokeballs that you'd have and then. With the flick of your finger on the screen, you would try to catch it. And then you could battle other people on different teams and that sort of thing. And
yeah, all right.
It
you
became
just completely
huge,
got very complicated.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm going over probably a lot of people's head right now.
All right. I don't know that it should be this complicated because lots of little kids were playing this. Here's what's funny is Roger Badish just walked into the studio and we're talking about Pokemon Go and you played Pokemon Go. Please, sir. What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You're on 5. Okay.
Hi.
You're on 5. Hi, Roger Badish.
Hi.
All right. So we're talking about Pokemon Go. Lots of things coming, new
right.
to Pokemon Go, but also published study recently that in one county in Indiana, one county, researchers from Purdue University.
Okay.
So,
well, that's official.
They're you just rolled makers. Your eyes at Purdue.
Well, it's early. My eyes are falling out.
All righty then. Whatever little SIU love from you.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Their study is called Death by Pokemon. It's written by two Purdue economists
mm-hmm.
talking about Tippecanoe County in Indiana. They found a disproportionate increase in vehicle crashes, injuries, and fatalities near Pokestops.
Mm-hmm.
So over the first 148 days...
Okay.
So, four
back
months.
A couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go directly was responsible for 134 accidents just in that county,
mm-hmm.
reportedly leading to an estimated $498,567. I would have rounded up to half a mil.
it is a study. They must be exact.
31 injuries. Well, it's an estimated. They,
oh,
estimated $498,567. 31 injuries and 2 deaths
yeah.
just in one county. Now, of course, when this was extrapolated over the entire country,
it's big.
Big, and we were hearing about kids who are walking into traffic.
Mm-hmm.
You did this
yes.
as a grown man.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We
okay.
should have known better.
Mm-hmm. So
I can attest to all of that.
The positive that I thought was really, really neat, when they released this, and I believe it was released right towards the end of school.
Okay.
It was like spring-ish. kids were walking upwards of 8 miles a day.
Yeah.
Out looking for poka.
Pokemon.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or Pokeballs.
Pokeballs.
Or well, poka whatever.
You could get both. Yes.
Yeah.
Or, at a Pokestop.
I would be going for pokey because that's a delicious food.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Right? Isn't that what it's called?
Pokey.
Poke.
Uh-huh.
Something like that.
All right. So we've got 4 minutes till news, Roger.
Yeah.
Why were you doing this?
I found it fun.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play video games umpteen million years ago back in the arcades.
Mm-hmm.
I got pretty good at some of them. I have a lot of downtime. The older I got, the more downtime I have. I'm semi-retired because I've retired from teaching.
Sure.
So when this came out, and knowing Pokemon, we had collected a ton of cards for our son as he was growing up, but he never got into it. And so I knew about the game.
Okay.
And I thought this was pretty cool.
Okay.
So I put it on the phone, and I started collecting. And then there's several people who work in the sports department who also collected. And Rob Martier's sons played.
Yeah.
And so we started communicating back and forth. You know, oh, I got this and this. And
all right.
So, yeah.
So when you would be on a walking trail.
I wouldn't walk necessarily for Pokemon.
Curtis did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. So when you would be on a walking trail, if you caught the Pokemon, he was gone? No one else could catch him?
Well, there's so many different variations of that would just pop up randomly.
Okay.
That it wouldn't necessarily matter if you caught it, but...
So it wasn't a race, him, ha ha ha.
No, it wasn't. No.
If there was one, rare Pokemon on a map, mm-hmm. and you and your friends went to that spot, you all got the chance to catch it.
Right.
And if you all caught it, then you all had that one variation.
Yeah, you didn't run out of Pokemon at a Pokestop.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're speculating, the researchers from Purdue, insert Roger's eye roll here, saying that when they speculate nationally, 145,000 accidents, more than 29,000 injuries, and an estimated 256 additional deaths nationwide could have possibly been caused by playing Pokemon Go within the five-month period following its release. The implied nationwide economic cost of these accidents ranged from $2 billion to $7.3 billion.
Now, question for this study. Was it based on the person, the Pokemon Go player, driving? Or were they walking as a pedestrian or something?
Valid, very intriguing question.
I know people the app had a setting where if you were walking over a certain speed, you wouldn't be eligible to
get, in the car.
Yeah, so you could.
Which there was just one little button you could press saying, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right. So on Waze, we're no, you need to, are you a passenger? And I'm like, obviously.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm totally a passenger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that'd be a way that people would, say that they're not walking that fast or not driving.
Yes.
But they'd be holding it and driving while trying to catch these Pokemon.
And we all heard these reports and Roger's raising his hand.
Yes. I am extremely guilty of that.
Okay. So, yes, that is, in fact, factual studies based on, and they took into factors such as maybe those numbers would have increased anyway because kids were out of school.
Yeah.
They extrapolated all of these variables
mm-hmm.
and still came up with these specific numbers. So here's what's interesting, though.
Mm.
They're sort of more than doubling down. They're tripling down on Pokemon Go. This is exciting for you, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Augmented reality.
Yeah.
For Pokemon Go. It's coming. But I have to get everybody to news because I pride myself on being on time. It is 4:30. Here's Vic Vaughn. How nice of Roger Badish to pop in for a few minutes. He'll be delivering news starting at 5 a.m.
He's such a nice guy.
Oh, so great. He was my news guy for so long. 312-981-7200. We're taking your calls and texts. Currently, we're talking about Pokemon Go. I'm Hannah Stanley, filling in for the last two segments here for Nick DiGilio. He will be back. I think he'll be back with you guys next week. I think he's gone this whole week. I can't remember. Pokemon Go, we just reviewed a study that was released this past week about how Pokemon Go fully can be proven to have caused actual deaths. The study is entitled Deathbed Pokemon. In one county in Indiana, two deaths directly can be blamed on the game Pokemon Go, either by traffic accidents or kids, teens, full grown-ups like Roger playing Pokemon Go, car accidents, etc. We heard horrible stories, people falling off of cliffs because they were going after Pokemon, they weren't paying attention. Now I'm seeing stories this week that Pokemon Go is getting augmented reality overhaul for iPhone and iPad. Augmented reality experience means the actions of the animated creatures are more accurate and they're adding a dynamic gameplay.
Yeah, and I know another thing too about Pokemon Go is that it seems to, like, you know, Roger is just in here, stretching upon many generations. So it's not like, you know, younger generations or millennials or teenagers or younger kids are getting hit. It's all across the board. You know what I mean?
It's when I realized what they were doing and how good it was for the kids were outside.
Yeah.
They were leaving in the morning with a group of friends, a pack, if you will.
Yeah.
And walking 5 to 8 miles a day.
I know my friends, I don't play the game anymore, but sure. When we did play it...
That's when I insert my eye roll. Sure you don't, Curtis.
You can check my phone. It's not on there. I promise you that. But no, when I played it, it was definitely one of those things where, you know, my friends and I are like practically night owls, which is why I guess I'm
you're
over
perfect
here.
For this.
So for that instance, I went on and I would walk around and collect it, and we walked a lot. I mean,
sure,
especially in the summertime.
That, and I think that's a great option. And I might it's great exercise. I might consider doing it with my kids. Billy from Gurnee, thanks for your call. You're on WGN.
Oh, good morning. Happy holidays.
You too.
The one thing I was curious about, I'm not technologically, you know, advanced, but is it adults playing this too, or is it children? But I understand the exercise part, which is kind of neat. It's like a an extra benefit to it.
Yeah, and that's maybe why I would consider doing this with my kids. I don't think that I would. Roger played it by himself, although he claims to be hanging out with the guys in the sports department.
Oh, okay. With the air quotes. Okay.
Sure, exactly. And the eye rolls and the Bitmoji where I'm like,
Yeah.
But I definitely don't think I would go out and do this on my own. I just don't feel the appeal. I never understood Pokemon. I never collected the cards.
Yeah, I know people who did it on their own. For me personally, I always saw people my age walking around. I never saw anybody much older or younger.
But I did
than
see
me.
Younger kids
it's
with the parents.
Yeah, I see parents walking around too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, but here's a question I have. Last summer, I saw people, they're walking, you know, adults, maybe in their 20s, you know, and stuff like that. And they're walking and they're just staring at their cell phone or their smartphone.
They were likely playing this.
Oh, okay. Now, what I don't understand is it just like a scavenger hunt, pretty much?
I guess that's a good way to describe it. Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you're walking around, and here's the thing, you don't just see the Pokemon on the map. You know, they just pop up at random points.
Oh, so you're not like going to a destination
to
get it?
No, so Billy, when you're talking about how, you know, people in their 20s are looking at their phones the whole time and they're walking and playing this game, it's probably because they're hoping that a Pokemon just pops out at some point and they're looking to catch it, if that makes any sense.
I think there were some in the building.
It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they had the game had them all over the place.
I was going to say the one thing, and I see people all the time walking, looking at their cell phone, you know, their smartphones, and I use that term loosely because some of the people with these phones really aren't that bright. But the thing is, when they're walking, they're so unaware of what's going on around them.
Well, hence the deaths, and that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
People would walk off a cliff. And that happened, and that was, I think, one of the deaths, or at least one of the terrible injuries. Other kids were running into traffic to get Pokemons because they were in the middle of the street.
See, that's why it should be supervised. You know, if you're like you're saying, what you're I forget if it's your son or your daughter, but it does sound like a fun activity to
do. It does sound like something
closely supervised.
Exactly. If we were going to go out and maybe spend an hour a day doing this and like drive to a destination or a park and look, that would be fun. It's kind of exercise you don't really realize you're
getting
forcing. Yeah. But I mean, for kids in their teens, you would think they know better. Don't run into traffic.
You would think, but we were all teenagers.
Yes.
Some of the things we did when we were teenagers, if we did it now, not only would be we have to serve some kind of community service.
Yes, you know, Billy, you speak the truth. If social media existed when we were younger.
Oh, boy.
But you know what? I'm kind of glad it didn't.
Oh, you and me both.
I'll tell you what. I didn't have a Facebook or anything until I was done with high school. Just for me personally, I never got involved with social media for a long time just because
it's healthier.
Well, yeah, but also at the same time, at least with my generation growing up with social media, there was always some sort of drama associated with social media.
Okay.
And I was never about that. So I would always just hold off on that until I became more mature. So I got it like when I was a freshman in college.
Oh, and see, when I went to high school, it was just before the explosion of the personal computers. We used to do the punch cards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's way before your time. Okay.
I know.
And then the personal the computer age started coming like in the mid-80s, the early 80s. Now, I understand the technology and all that, and I know it's an ever-changing world, but sometimes kids and people forget there's a whole world out there. Just it's not on your TV screen. It's not on your computer. It's not on your internet. It's all around you. And I'm trying not to sound like an old man. I'm only in my early 50s, but kids should use the imagination more. You know, especially even adults. You know, because sometimes we get so caught up on keeping how many followers you have on Twitter and who's doing this, who's doing that. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in that we lose track of the things that are important, you know, because I see people looking at their cell phone and they're so busy concentrating on that. There's this lady must have been about 90 years old. And people are walking past or looking at their cell phone, not noticing that she needs a little help getting a door open.
Right.
Simple things like that.
Simple
courtesy.
Simple things. I completely agree with you. I do.
Yeah.
I did feel that this was an intriguing use of technology, though, because it did get the kids while they were totally glued to their tablets and their phones.
Yep.
It got them together as a group. They were working as a team. They were doing
things. You could make friends with
and they were outside fresh air going. We were talking about the safety of this. The game now, the makers of the game, which is Niantic, came up with another solution because Curtis and Roger were both saying that you could just lie and say, no, I'm not in a car or I'm a passenger.
The
game now prevents Pokemon from appearing in an area if it detects the player is in a car going more than 30 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Whether you're a passenger or not. So it doesn't even appear. So you can still go around the neighborhood below the speed limit. Like mom can drive around.
Yeah.
Low.
But was that the thing? Was it last summer or a couple summers ago where everybody's congregating in a park somewhere? I forget.
Yep.
It was downtown or something. And the one thing that does about technology and everything that does kind of, you got to be on alert for is you never know who's behind that computer screen or who's, you know what I'm trying to say? There's
completely
a lot of people out there that they'll find a way to find something bad to do with it.
I agree. Flash mobs.
Scares me.
Flash mobs I thought were really cool. And then I was like, I don't know. There's a way that those could go south. I don't necessarily trust flash mobs. For sure they can have sinister motives, but even a fun, friendly, like, hey, we're doing a dance at a park, that can still be a little bit iffy to me.
This, though, seems
to be because it's a managed game.
Okay.
By a developer with branding. So it's licensed through the Pokemon
brand. That's what I want. I didn't mean to interrupt, but the question I have, is somebody making money off of this? Obviously,
for sure.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There are in-app purchases. So basically, you can go in and purchase more Pokeballs. You can purchase eggs. You can purchase any sort of
thing.
None
of this makes any sense to me.
It's all currency in there.
So if
you wanted to purchase, you know, an incubator to hatch your egg in a day or whatever, that cost you like $3. you know, per thing.
Was the game free or did you pay to download
the game? The game was free. No, the game was free, but then there were in-app purchases.
The accessories.
Billy, they gave away the razors and sold the blades. See, that's from our generation. Billy, yep, thank you so much for your call. I'm going to get us over you. to the thanks. Weather. Hannah Stanley filling in for what remains of Nick DiGilio's show for this evening, about 11 minutes left. Man, this show flies. I want to thank all of our listeners who have called in and done nice things. I actually just got a nice mention on the Cami Can page. Somebody was listening and mentioned to them that we were talking about the great things that Cami Can does, and the fact that they took over the pillowcases to Central DuPage Hospital. That was in our first segment when we were talking about great things, good stories, feel good things to kick off this week.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. So thank you for sharing that.
We want to go back. We were going to talk about going back to SNL, correct?
Yeah, definitely. We got some more text to 312-981-7200.
Yeah, so I mentioned this earlier, the Phil Hartman as Clinton on a jog stopping by McDonald's, which is another good one. I got to correct myself because we said Black Jeopardy was from 2014. It's actually, I don't know if the YouTube page that I was on was just wrong, but it's actually from October of 2016.
All right, that makes me feel better because I was like, did I really just dream that it was that recent, or had I only seen it recently?
Yeah, 317 texter found that out and corrected me on that. So thank you, 317. Another one from 312, I loved the short film SNL did when Michael Jordan hosted. It was about the first black player on the Harlem Globetrotters, Sweet River Baines. Phil Hartman was the announcer in his best 30s style of announcing. Yeah. It pains again was more of Devil's Basketball. And then we got more SNL sketches. It's a Wonderful Life 2. Mm-hmm. Lothar in the Hill, People, Middle-Aged Man. And going back to Pokemon Go, we had another texture coming in, 224, that he's 64 and they play it.
Well, see, I'm really thinking that I might need to play this with the kids in the spring. Because God knows I'm not doing it now. It's too cold. I went over and shoveled my neighbor's walk or my their driveway because they're out of town. And I really was questioning my life choices that I live here because nobody makes me live here, right?
It's pretty much our choice.
Yeah. It's a free country. Like, I love working here.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. That makes me stay here. My kids go to a nice school. My husband has a job here.
There's a lot of good things Illinois offers.
There are other places, though, that offer jobs.
Yeah, but that's what I was just going to say. There are other places that Illinois doesn't, or other things Illinois doesn't have.
Like Sutton. So we were talking about Pokemon Go in our last couple of segments. There is another update. Huge Pokemon Go update, adding more Gen 3 creatures and dynamic weather. What does that mean?
Well, I'm assuming by dynamic weather, they're saying that
it's going to rain and snow.
If it's raining in your area, it'll probably be raining on your phone or on your map whenever you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned dynamic. What was it else was there? Sorry.
Well, you're correct. It says the game will now reflect real life weather and climate conditions.
Yeah.
So dynamic weather features will be visible on the in-game map and will affect which Pokemon are likely to appear. So if it's raining, probably the Pokemon, if there's Pokemon who don't like rain.
Or if it's snowing, you might get some winter types. I don't know. Snow types.
I really have no idea. Like, you would show me a Pokemon and I would go, that's weird. I would have no idea what they look like. The weather's other effects include changing Pokemon habitats and increasing combat power and earning more stardust after catching a Pokemon. I am not kidding. It is like I'm speaking German right now.
Well, combat power is basically means how strong that Pokemon is when you are battling another player.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, I guess, to get a little bit of background, there's at several locations there are bases, or they're called towers.
Okay.
And so basically, you, depending on how strong your Pokemon is, you can go in and battle those other people's. And if your Pokemon is really strong, you can own that tower. And they're
all fake.
I know.
Okay.
Just bear with me here, Hannah.
I'm more excited about the fact that the company has confirmed they're making a new title called Harry Potter Wizards Unite.
Oh, there you
go. I'm on that. See? That's cool. Because, like, if Dobie is around and there's, like, random socks that I can... That's something I can get behind. I like me some Harry
Potter.
Did
you ever get in a Pottermore?
You know, that's no.
No. Okay.
That's the website, curious. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I, no.
I was just curious.
I, that was one of those things where I was like, oh, I should check that out. And then I never did because, you know.
Yeah.
Kids.
Because kids. Exactly.
I'm busy.
Have you been to Universal to see the
very interesting
things?
You ask that. No. My daughter and I have just started reading the book because she's seven and it's a little bit beyond her skill set. But I thought the stories, I thought she would really enjoy the story. My son and I started reading it and he was like, really? Like it just wasn't his jam at all. And so we haven't done that. We go down to Florida all the time where I say we are a big Disney family, but I'm the one driving that entirely.
It's basically our family too. Big Disney family, big.
My sister, however, her kids are a little bit older. She's two boys that are a little bit, one of them is older than mine. And they were just there and they got the interactive wand and that was a whole thing. Like you can make other things happen when you're in Diagon Alley, you have an interactive wand and she said it was the greatest. Huh. Although some of the rides are very, like if you have motion sickness, don't do the rides.
Yeah.
Just that's not a thing you want to do. So it says it's added a limited number of Generation 3 Pokemon. Is part of the Halloween event. So it already did that. And now more creatures from Ruby and Sapphire's Hoenn region. I'm done talking about this. Done.
See, I think now that's getting actually a little bit over my head because I haven't played it in the game
God,
in a long time.
It's not just me.
So I don't have much to
Harry Potter,
there.
I'm in.
Harry Potter, yeah.
Let's just wait for Harry Potter. I'm hoping Harry Potter is like, Harry Potter, go. And we can go and find like, oh, look, they're playing Quidditch in the park.
Yeah.
And then we can watch a fake Quidditch game. That'd be super cool.
You know what's funny? I went to Columbia here in the city, Columbia College, Chicago. They actually had a Quidditch team.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did.
You wacky college kids.
And I swear, they'd go to Grant Park.
You can't
and they'd
fly.
Have match- no, but they had like broomsticks and stuff they would
But the
go
snitch
on.
Can't fly. There are people who have never read Harry Potter who are like, they are crazy. We don't know what they're talking about.
But all I'm saying is that there was a Quidditch team, so if you're interested
Were they teased?
No. Actually, the thing about Columbia is, at least from what my experience was there, is that a lot of students just have like their own personalities and likes.
It is kind of artsy.
It's very artsy. So I guess a lot of kids were just kind of like, hey, it's their thing. Whatever. You know what I mean? That was at least the vibe I got off
of. Well, I respect the heck out of that. That's amazing.
And you know what's funny, though? The Quidditch team is actually one of the biggest clubs on campus. Like the second biggest club or biggest club on campus.
There's
big thing.
There's so many things I want to say where I'm like, that can't be. That's not possible.
It's true. I just graduated from there. I know
how many
school.
Kids were on the Quidditch team?
Oh, man. That I don't know.
Is this a no-cut team?
I'm not sure. That's a good question.
How would you be cut from a Quidditch team?
I think they had different like divisions or different teams, and if they had different matches up and all over the place,
Is
they could
there
go.
A regulating unit over the Quidditch? Is this a thing? Is there is there a league for fake Quidditch teams?
I have no idea. But I think
How
there are
is
other...
this not a whole segment that
I don't
we
know.
Talked about on the radio today?
I think there are. We'll have to save this again for when we're back together.
Yeah, if you're not aware of what we're talking about, Quidditch is a game in Harry Potter. It is fictional. They fly in broomsticks. It's almost like lacrosse.
Yeah,
on broomsticks.
And you're flying,
and then there's the quaff. Right? And then the snitch. I haven't read these in a while.
Yeah.
And then you have to get them through these, like, hoops.
Yeah.
But the game ends when you catch this tiny, tiny golf ball-sized golden flying ball.
Yeah.
Called the golden snitch.
Mm-hmm. And if you catch that, you know, your team wins and the other team...
So many of the words I have just said equal can't play for reals.
Yeah.
Flying.
But... You know what?
Broomsticks.
Again.
Golden snitch.
Don't give me this. I'm just saying that this was a thing at school that I went to and that kids could participate in. Mm-hmm. I think there were like three teams or like
I don't
it was
know
such...
that the kids' parents are aware that they're on a Quidditch team. I don't know that.
I
feel like
I
there
know.
Would be conversations that would start with this phrase. This isn't what we're paying for.
That's a very fair assessment.
I feel like you're putting some effort into some areas.
But you know what, though? If it's a way for them to make friends at school, you know, especially if they're just a freshman and they're coming out of state, you know, and they're looking
for
somewhere.
Oh, yeah, no, justify it. You can justify it. Exactly. 23-year-old college person.
Yeah.
Quidditch.
Quidditch, yes. It's a real thing.
Honestly, I don't.
We have a few minutes. Do we want to go to the roadside attractions at 33? No?
No, because unfortunately, we have like a minute to
get
to. Yeah,
I know.
So here's the thing. He is Curtis Koch, and this has been our first shift working together.
Yes.
And you've been here how many months?
1 month.
Uh-huh. A month.
Yeah, this is actually, I think, my fourth shift doing a show, or actually fifth, I'm sorry, but I've done
a few
Blackhawks
games. So this is your top five shows ever?
Yes.
And actually, he and I know each other from even before this.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
Tell her about it.
So Roger is very good friends with Gloria Jean.
Yeah, I'm aware of that, yeah.
So is my grandmother. So my grandmother, a little hindsight, used to do Gloria's hair back in the day.
Oh,
and Gloria used to have her own hair shop.
Yeah, and worked for her, and then Gloria did coffee, and then my grandma worked for Gloria, and then soon my mom was the manager of the Woodfield Gloria Jean's location.
Heard of it.
And soon after that, Gloria Jean was very close to our family, and my parents and my grandma met Roger at Gloria's Christmas party earlier.
For the first time.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then, Roger, you probably missed this part, but Curtis and I, who've never met each other before, Curtis starts telling a feel-good story, and I'm listening to the story going, I know this story because that's my friend, Michael Guerin. We have a mutual friend.
I'll be a son of a gun. It's a small world after all.
It's a world of wonder.
And a world of cheers.
Yeah, it is.
I don't want to sing.
I think you just did.
I did, but I don't want to sing anymore.
All right.
I'm done.
My name is Hannah Stanley. It has been my pleasure to be with you guys today, filling in for Nick DiGilio. I will be back on the air, if not sooner. I will be back on Sunday from 1 to 3. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.